Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 212. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And a little bit of a change tonight. We're gonna start reviewing the Rambo films, but we basically saw everything that's in theaters right now.
So, yeah.
We're gonna delay that. We're gonna do that a little different. We're gonna do one a week starting next week, kind of leading up to the new film.
It'll run us right into the new films.
So. It should run us right into our nightmare rewatch too, or at least close to it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Anyways, so instead tonight we're going to talk about all the stuff that's in theaters right now that we went to go see. Two of them we both saw, and then we each have like an individual one we saw. And we're just going to get right into it with a film that actually just came out. So it'll be opening weekend. Pretty much by the time you're hearing this.
Yep.
That is Ready or Not. It's like a horror comedy, I would say. Directed by Matt Bettinelli-Ulpin and Tyler Gillette, from a screenplay by Guy Busick and R. Christopher Murray. Stars Samara Weaving as this woman who is getting married into this like ultra rich family, and on the night of the wedding, or like, you know, after the wedding, the tradition goes that you have to play a game to become part of the family, and there's like this whole kind of backstory to the family too, like how they made their fortune, which I kind of I don't know, I feel like I kind of missed some of like the story there, but it's not totally important. It's just that, you know, they've been playing this game for
generation. Not important at all. Like,
yeah.
Aside from like knowing kind of why they're doing it, that's really all you need. You don't need to know like the details of.
Yeah, it's essentially, so they've been playing this game forever, and they believe that, they have to do it, otherwise, something bad will happen to their family. You know, maybe their fortune will go away. I don't know. And the way it goes is like there's this box full of cards. You draw a card, and it tells you what game you're playing. It could be checkers, could be chess. And you know, for the purposes of this movie, she she draws the one card you don't want to draw, which is you have to play hide and seek. And the way that works is they try to kill you. So that's the premise of this movie. It's like this girl getting married into this rich family. She's forced to play hide and seek where they are trying to kill her. And I guess, you know, they say that if, you know, she survives till dawn, then she wins the game. But otherwise, basically, she's going to get murdered. And they want to murder her because, again, they believe also that, you know, if she wins the game, bad things will happen to her. Or bad things will happen
to her. Bad things happen to them, yeah. Yeah.
I think it's like a super contrived setup. Like, like this premise is doing a lot of work. And, like, you know, me explaining it just now, I'm like, so what if they play, you know, checkers? Do they have to win checkers or
no? You know? So you did miss that part, right? So, the only game, whenever somebody joins the family, they have to play a game. Like they put the blank card into the box, and the box prints out the game they'll play. And if hide or seek comes up, that is the one time where they believe they need to sacrifice. Basically, they're trying to seek her out and then sacrifice her to this demon or whatever that, which is they made this pact with to get their fortune.
And that, you know, that's basically it. Like that, you know, I'd say it's about 20 minutes in or so. The game has begun. And you're kind of off to the races. She's getting chased all over this giant mansion, and
it happens pretty quickly.
Like, yeah, these people are trying to kill her, and you know, it's I think a pretty good blend of horror and comedy. I'd almost say it leans comedy. It's very like jokey and kind of like, you know, the joke is that these people are kind of idiots, these rich people.
There's definitely a comedic tinge to it, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the theater, you know, the audience I saw it with was laughing a lot, and that's not to say, like, there is, you know, pretty strong horror elements, too. It's, like, it's a pretty violent film.
Yeah, but, like, even some, like, so, like, some of the violence early on is actually played for laughs.
Yeah.
like, where... specifically there's the one scene that's in the trailer where the one lady shoots one of the maids with the crossbow.
Yeah.
and then they're trying to like talk about it and all you hear is the gurgling because she hasn't quite died yet, so like she's trying to breathe and the blood is like clogging her airway to the point where this crazy old lady like just gets fed up and goes and hacks her head off.
Yeah, it's almost just like she's like this annoyance. Like they, you know, there is you know, a little bit of commentary here about the rich. Like they just do not care. You know, these people are just, you know, their help or whatever. I think this movie. I mean, let's get into what we think of it and stuff. I think the movie's pretty fun. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I had a good time with it.
Yeah. I'm not usually huge on horror comedies. I think this one does a pretty good job of riding that line between the two things and, you know, manages to deliver both. I think Samara Weaving is really good in it. I like her a lot. I'm a fan. I don't think I've seen her in anything else yet. I know she's in that film Mayhem, but I have not seen it yet. The whole family, I think, is all really good. I think Andy McDowell's really good as, like, the mom. And, yeah, it's a fun time at the theater, at the movies.
And it's short. It's, like, an hour and a half. Like, it doesn't overstay its welcome. You get in, like, you get the setup, and they're off, you know, doing the hide-and-seek part of it. And, you know, there's some good banter back and forth. I think it does work because the cast that they have as the family that here works really well. Like, they have some good chemistry. They feel like there's, like, a lot of personal animosity going back and forth. And that conflict plays real well to like, lighten the mood of what should actually be pretty fucking like gruesome. Like they're hunting this woman that is just married into the family. And it's pretty brutal, but
yeah. I mean, once it finally gets like really going, there is some good suspense and some good, like, you know, real kind of like violence and scares and stuff. You know, she's a bloody mess by the end of this movie. And I guess without like spoiling it, I've seen people like kind of go both ways on the ending. I personally really liked the ending.
I loved it. It was great.
Yeah. So there's I don't know, cause there's not that much to talk about it, but there's a little twist at the end. And, you know, I guess I can see some people not liking it, but you know, like I said, without spoiling it, it kind of went exactly where I wanted it to go. It was like what I was hoping was going to happen at the end.
There is a cathartic release to, so like you very much, latch on to Grace, who is, you know, the bride here. And you know, there's a cut, like I think Daniel played by Adam Brody. He's also like kind of sympathetic. He's not really on board, but he's doing it cause like it's a family thing. He doesn't seem like he really likes his wife, who's totally on board with it. And so like but the rest of them aren't really sympathetic characters. Well, I guess for the most part, like Alex, her husband, Grace's husband, he seems sympathetic. You're at least part way with him for most of the film.
It's just very funny, though. Like, there's a scene where, like, he has to explain to her what's going on now, and she's just like, what the fuck, dude? And he's, like, he tries to explain to her his, like, thinking of, like, well, you have to do it to become part of the family. I really wanted to marry you, but then if I told you, you wouldn't marry me, and so it's just, like, this really labored explanation.
Convoluted, like, explanation, and I don't know, it was goofy. But yeah, so like you don't like most of the family, so like you want to see them get their, you want to see them get theirs,
yeah,
in most cases. And the help, like, which is like going out of its way to help the family capture Grace, like you want to see these people die. And some of them do throughout the film, but then there has to be like this cathartic release at the end. And I think it accomplishes that with the ending. Like, you're like, yes, fuck yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, again, it was where I was hoping it would go, and it went there. Yeah, this thing's fun. It's fast. You're in and out. Really likable cast. I really like I said, I think between, between Samara Weaving and Florence Pugh, I have two new like movie girlfriends here, this year. And yeah, its whole just kind of fun vibe. It, you know, it's a good time. I do like it delivers on what's promised, I think, in the trailer. I do think that the trailer kind of gives away too many of the good moments, which is something that I think will pop up again this week.
Yeah. It's because the trailer really sells like the comedy aspect of it.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because some of the moments that I think would get the biggest pop and biggest reaction from an audience, you already know them, like you recognize them, that they're coming up here, and that's kind of a shame because like the crossbow scene is hysterical, but I think it would have played better if I hadn't known about it.
Yeah,
because some of those shocks just like they've spoiled them in the trailer, so.
Yeah, and that's going to be almost word for word about what I'm going to say about another movie. But, yeah, again, I don't think there's much more to say about this. Like I said, it's quick and it's fun, and it's got a good cast. I'm going to give it 4 stars.
That's where I'm at. I came out of it really liking it. I went in hoping it would be like almost like a Your Next.
I was thinking about Your Next as I was watching it, and it's no Your Next.
And it's not quite there. Like it's still a great time.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't reach that next level. And I kind of wish it did, but still, like, you know, it's been a weird summer for films, and this is definitely a good one to end on.
I will say, I think it's funny that you and me both thought about Your Next. I will say this. Yeah, this has been a disappointing summer, but honestly, this is turning into one of the more interesting Augusts.
August has been pretty good.
It's all, there's a lot of like original stuff coming out in August that's pretty good. I mean, we're going to be talking about some of it tonight, but let's move on to another horror movie. This one I didn't see, but you did. That's 47 Meters Down, Uncaged.
Well, one, let's call yourself lucky.
Okay.
Having not gone. So
it looked pretty good.
And I saw the first 47 Meters Down. It was an okay shark movie. I didn't know how they were going to build on a sequel. Like, it made zero sense. And honestly, this film makes zero sense as a 47 Meters Down sequel. It's just like, oh, we have another shark movie. What can we tie it to? Let's tie it to this moderately successful previous shark movie.
Yeah.
So what it is it features these 14 girls. They go, they're in Mexico. They go to this secret spot, and dive into this underwater city through a cave. Now, this underwater city happens to be being explored by one of the main characters' dads. Like, so that's kind of how they know about it. And they go through, and actually, I think the opening maybe half hour or so of this, the setup is pretty solid. It's kind of like The Descent, but underwater with sharks.
Yeah, that's the vibe I got from the trailer. And I could feel the claustrophobia and stuff. And I was like, man, I might have to check this series out.
So all that works real well. Like, one, the series isn't, it's not together. Like, so you can watch one and not have anything go from another. But the first half of this film is like, there's some great underwater shots. There's claustrophobia. Like, it feels good. And I was really on board with it. And then it takes this weird turn that doesn't work. There's some terrible CGI in the last half. and then it just gets real, real dumb. Like, really dumb. The shark kills aren't particularly great. They're not super gory. They're not particularly exciting. There is one that works real well. You kind of feel it's coming, but you don't know. And then it happens, and it's like, yeah, that's fun. Like, but everything else about it is pretty stupid. like, and at one point, so the girls, they meet up with the one girl's dad. He's like kind of rescued them at this point, and he's trying to get them out of there. And if you've ever seen Deep Blue Sea, which is a shark movie I love, there is a speech by Samuel L. Jackson in the middle of that movie. It's this big, like, heroic, we're gonna beat these smart sharks. And this guy is kind of going off on, like, he's giving this inspirational, like, oh, it's gonna be all right, girls. And then the shark eats him. And that's kind of funny. But from there on, for the next, like, 35 minutes, it's just downhill, bad CGI, bad dialogue, stupid, contrived, like, none of it hits. It's not, there's no tension. It's just like, oh, I see exactly where this is going. And it goes right there every single time. And it's like, this is so stupid. So unfortunately, I cannot recommend 47 Meters Down Uncaged.
That's too bad. I guess there's one notable thing about this is its debut film role for Sistine Stallone, who is Sylvester Stallone's daughter.
Okay.
Let me see who she played is. Mia. I don't know. You know, again, I haven't seen this, so I don't know if that even sticks out to you. You didn't see a girl who looked like she was born like her father was a meathead?
No, well, I'm looking at her now. No, she played somebody. Well, IMDb has her listed as somebody playing Nicole, who is the idiot of the group. and I did not like her. I'm like, she's the reason everything bad happens in this film. From them getting trapped in this underwater cave to them ultimately, like, where only two of them end up surviving and they get all the other people killed. She's the idiot. So, but no, she doesn't really look
like her dad.
No, like, she's kind of pretty. Like,
I mean, I was gonna say it's probably a good thing.
Actually, all four of the girls look good. They're all in bikinis the entire time. So there's that.
But you're saying skip, huh?
Yeah, I would skip this. It's not. It is not a good movie at all.
All right. Star rating?
2. Yeah, it's bad.
Do you recommend checking out 47 Meters Down, like the first one?
It's okay. I think there's, well, I guess maybe not. There's not really a whole lot of good shark movies. There's that one with I'm trying to think of where she was like, she's stuck on the island.
Oh, yeah, the Shallows.
yeah, that one's pretty good. The Shallows is better than 47 Meters Down, the original, but I like the idea of the original 47 Meters Down. The reason that it's called 47 Meters Down is when you get below, I think, 45 meters, your brain starts to function funky and you might start to see things. And so, like, there's that original movie plays with that concept a little bit.
And this one doesn't at all.
No, there's no talk of it ever. Like, there's no talk of them going 47 meters down. There's nothing. It's just, 47 meters down means shark movie.
That's great. All right. Well, I guess I'm glad I skipped it.
Yeah. Be happy.
All right. Well, another film that we both got to go see is a film called Good Boys. It's an R-rated comedy. It's directed by Gene Stupnitsky and written by him and Lee Eisenberg. And this movie, it's basically about a bunch of, like, what, 12-year-old boys, like these three friends who find out about, like, they get invited to this kissing party and they want to learn how to kiss before they go there, because our main character, played by Jacob Tremblay, he has a crush on this girl. And so they're trying to figure out how to kiss, and it kind of, like, sends them on this series of adventures. And this is, like, it's a raunchy R-rated one notable thing about this is it's, like, an R-rated raunchy comedy that stars little kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, before it came out, I saw a lot of people who were, like, very clutching their pearls about this movie, and really, like, why would anyone want to see this? It seems inappropriate.
Because it looks funny.
And it's just funny. It cracked me up because it was coming from people who are, like, these are, like, kind of like film critics and film Twitter people who you wouldn't expect to be like that about a movie. And like you said, it looked funny. Anytime that the trailer for this played in the theater before it came out, it got really big laughs from the audience. And the audience turned out for this. This is one of the only, like, successful original comedies of the year. It did good on its opening weekend. And, you know, after all that pearl clutching and freaking out about it and bad talking it, it did well. And guess what? It turns out the movie is actually pretty sweet, I think. It kind of captures that time in your life, I think, pretty accurately. This has reminded me of me and my friends when we were that age. You know, we used 4-letter words when we were 12. Spoilers, guys. Like, we talked about this stuff.
I think it captures it really well because they use 4-letter words, but they don't always know how to use them correctly.
There's so much of the comedy here is based on the fact that they don't know about, or, like,
right.
They'll be playing with anal beads and they don't know what it is, or a sex swing and they don't know what it is. One of my favorite ones happens very early on in the movie. Like, they're riding their bikes and one kid says something about, you know, something about coom. They're like, coom? Yeah. He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, C-U-M, coom. So a lot of the humor is derived from their innocence. And a lot of it also is from, I don't know the actor's name, but one of the boys, he is, like, can't keep his mouth shut. Keith L. Williams Lucas. He's like the friend who you don't want covering for you because he can't tell a lie, basically.
Yeah.
There's a lot, the movie gets a lot of humor from that.
They play that up really well later on when he's, like, talking to his parents about everything. And they're just like,
yeah,
this is so fucking absurd that we don't believe you.
The movie's really good at kind of, like, repeating some of the jokes kind of like that, where it's like it'll come back to the same idea that it originally presented. And I think the movie does a good job with that. I think all these kids are really funny. All three of them I really liked. I think that Brady Noon as Thor, people are kind of sleeping on him. I think he's really good on this.
I think he's meant to come off as a bit of a dick. Like he's supposed to be the dickish friend. He's like the Cartman of the group.
But he is, but he's also like, he's got another side to him. I think it was a really interesting choice that he's like really into dancing, but doesn't want to like admit it to even like his two close friends. He doesn't want to admit that he's like into dancing. Right. And I think they have some fun with that throughout the movie. They actually have there's a lot, I think, some good jokes with him about how he's like afraid to drink beer. Yes, there's some beer drinking scenes with these kids, but it's like anyone who's like thinks this is super like out of bounds, I'm like, dude, when I was 12 years old, we were doing that same thing, like stealing a beer and
like you don't drink the whole thing, like you're passing it around and
yep,
trying a sip and like, oh, this tastes like shit, like.
And yeah, I mean, so it's like, I think a lot of the observations are like really spot on and like really reminded me of what it was like to be that age. Like the kind of like dread and excitement of, you know, something like Spin the Bottle. Like this movie does a really good job of like nailing like how scary it could be to play scary music when like they get invited to a party, like it's a kissing party, it's like doo-doo, like oh no. I think that like the plot is kind of super thin. Like the way they get into like the misadventures is kind of ridiculous.
It's super dumb.
Yeah, like, you know, instead of just like, well, they do try looking up a video of kissing, and you know they end up stumbling upon, you know, Pornhub and stuff, and they're like, that's not kissing, he's licking her asshole and stuff like that. But it's like you could easily find kissing videos, I'm sure, on the internet. I mean, I had to learn before the days of the internet, so I don't know, but I'm sure they're out there.
These kids aren't they're not stupid, like
no, yeah. So instead, they like concoct like, all right, we're gonna steal our dad's drone and fly around the neighborhood and find these girls that we know about, and like maybe they'll be making out. We could like watch them making out through this drone, and it's just like, again, it's probably the weak point for me about the movie is like how they get to their misadventures. But I mean, there's some good things about it too, though. I think the girls, like the older girls that they kind of get into trouble with here, they're pretty funny, and like their whole, you know, it's almost like a subplot about how like they're trying to get Molly to go to some party or whatever that night. Yeah. So like, there's a lot of like, you know, subplot of them trying to get Molly. I don't know. Overall, I had a pretty good time. I think it's funny. I think it's warm-hearted. It's like, I guess for some people that I would say that would be surprising, but it's kind of, I knew going in, like, you know, most raunchy comedies have heart too, and this, I think this one does too. What do you think about that? Like,
yeah, like I think, like, yes, like there's a lot of like sex jokes and drug jokes and like, you know, foul language and like stuff like that. You don't what works is because it's coming out of the mouths of these like 11-year-old kids, but really like, when you dig a little deeper, it's about like friendship and growing apart and understanding like that your friends have different interests and that's okay. Like there's a lot of like, there's a lot of depth actually to what's going on
for what it is. Yeah.
And for as stupid and like raunchy as like the rapper is, like there's a lot of like really sweet stuff in there, and it makes you feel good because, like, you know, you feel like these kids are, you know, they're friends and they're going to continue to be friends
and they're going to be okay, even though they're going to start dating and, you know, they're going to have to spend more time with girls and this and that. But
right, like I could see somebody doing a sequel to this, like where they revisit these guys like later in life, right? Like, they grow the kids up and do something like that. Like I could see them like revisiting a friendship and how it changes when, you know, in your adult years.
Or, you know, maybe when they hit high school, like, although I guess that would be like super bad.
Yeah. I mean, but it's similar. Like, I think there's things about it that work, and the characters are fun. Not that I'm requesting a sequel to Good Boys. Like, yeah. I like the fact that it is an original film, not tied to anything. And it's just like, you know, it's just fun. And it was a fun, like, little story that had a little bit of heart to it. And I had a good hour and a half at the theater with my wife.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I guess one thing for me, though, is I don't think I was laughing as hard as I should have been, because all the biggest jokes are in the trailer. Like, I knew every big raunchy joke before it happened. Like, there's like almost like these big set piece jokes, like I said, like the sex swing.
Yeah.
Or them watching the porn or things like that. And it's just like, I wish they would have held back some of that. I think that's what sold the movie. I think, you know, audiences were really, like, really responded to this trailer every time I saw it all summer. But again, yeah, so then I'm watching the movie and I know some of the big beats that we're going to hit. But
it's a bit of a shame, like kind of like Ready or Not, right? That where to get people in, they have to kind of, you know, show the hook.
Yeah.
And, you know, with Good Boys, at least there's a little bit more underneath, for you to kind of grab onto, but both like really good trailers, but over, like they maybe overreach a little bit in delivering too much, and like there's not as much meat in between. I think it's a fun good time.
Yeah, I think I'm going 4 on this also.
Yeah, me too.
Again, I'm generally pleased with almost everything I saw this week. And especially this last film I'm going to talk about that I'm sure bombed over this last weekend. But it made my week. That's a film called Blinded by the Light. It's directed by Gurinder Chadha, who I think did Bend It Like Beckham. It's written by him, Safraz Manzoor, and Paul Mayada Burgess. And this is actually a true story about this kid named Javed Khan, who is, you know, he's like a Pakistani immigrant who is growing up in England in the 80s. And, you know, he's dealing with, I think, his biggest thing he's dealing with is his dad, who is very like old school, very strict, and, you know, like he wants to kind of like control his son's life. Like, this is, you're going to be this when you grow up, you're going to do that. You know, you're going to marry this girl, kind of like that thing. He's dealing with that a lot. And like, and unfortunately he doesn't want to do what his dad wants of him. He wants to be a writer, which his dad like thinks is a waste of time. He's also dealing with racists in England. It's like these Tories, which they look like the MAGA of the 1980s or something. They're kind of like lurking around the edge of this entire film. But you know, there's some run-ins with them, you know, including like one point, like they're trying to get to a wedding and they're having like a fucking Nazi rally, like, gets in the way of them going down a street at one point. But anyway, so this kid's got, you know, he's like this high school kid. He's got all these like kind of problems and these dreams. And then he meets another kid, and this other kid introduces him to Bruce Springsteen, and our main character's world just kind of opens up. Like, you know, he feels like Bruce Springsteen is speaking directly to him. And just kind of about how art or how music or how artists can touch your life. That's kind of what this movie is about. And for me as a big Bruce Springsteen fan, like, it almost felt like this was like written like directly for me. Like, I, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a writer too. Like, I identified, despite the fact that I'm not Pakistani and I'm not an immigrant or anything like that, I identified with this kid a lot. And when he starts to discover Bruce Springsteen, he reminded me a lot of me, like, when I was that age, when I discovered Bruce, like, I always knew about Bruce Springsteen, but, like, you know, when you hear something besides the three songs that they play on the radio, and you start listening to the lyrics, like, I just would go around telling people about how great the lyrics are, you know, like, you gotta see this guy's lyrics, you gotta listen to what he's saying. And this kid is doing the same thing. And this is kind of like, you know, it's a musical, too, because it has, like, all these scenes where he, with him listening to the music as, like, the lyrics, like, Bruce's lyrics are playing on the screen. There are, like, musical numbers, even, where they're singing Bruce songs, and, like, they're running through school as they sing it and stuff. And, like, musicals are fun, but, like, this is even, like, elevated further for me because I'm such a big Bruce fan. I think I was, like, in tears through half of this movie. Like, I was really touched by this movie. And I would say, like, you don't have to be, like, a Bruce fan to enjoy this movie. I do think you should be a Bruce fan because he's the boss. But, you know, I would be surprised, like, if most people... I think most people see this movie are going to walk away, like, really liking it. It's a feel-good movie, you know? It's just a feel-good movie about, like, coming of age and you know, just discovering that how art can touch your life and stuff. I really, really liked it. It's, even with some of the darker elements it has, the movie just has, like, a nice light touch. And, you know, it has a lot of heart, and it has some stuff to say. Even when it kind of builds toward kind of, like, predictable endings and stuff, but, like, even if you kind of feel where it's going, it doesn't make the ride any less enjoyable. It's really, I was like, how, another thing I was thinking was, how much is this quote-unquote a true story? Well, at the end, they do show the actual guy, and it's like, you know, he's been to over 350 Bruce shows, and they show a bunch of pictures of, like, him meeting Bruce and taking pictures with Bruce and stuff. So, it's real. It's like him and his friend are real people, and they still they're still friends, and they still go see Bruce every chance they get. Nice. Again, this movie feels so specifically targeted towards me, but I think that like I said, this thing kind of bombed in the theater, but I think it will find its audience as it goes on. I think it works as a great, like, rental if you, like, just want to watch a movie that will put you in a good mood and, like, feeling good about life by the end of it. I recommend you see it, Chris. Again, it's probably everyone listening to this is probably already gone from your theater by the time you're hearing this, but
I am not a Bruce Springsteen fan, but I like kind of like the 80s aesthetic and kind of what they're doing with interlocking the music in with the film.
It's really interesting. I think I've said this before, but it's interesting. I find this so much more interesting than just doing a biopic about Bruce, like, or about anybody. Like, I think it's a really interesting idea to explore an artist based on how they touch a fan's life. I don't think I've seen a movie really do that before. I'm just so lucky that, you know, my favorite artist of all time, they decided to go a different route.
And I've only ever seen Bennett Like Beckham from this director, but that was, like, a very good film. So
I think you'll like this, dude. Like, again, it's just it'll put you in a good mood. Like, it might even make you a Bruce fan. I don't know.
Probably not. I just something about his voice just doesn't do it for me, but
you're one of those people. I still recommend you check it out, man. Like, once it's available to rent, I would put it high on your list. And it goes for anybody. But if you're a Bruce fan, though, this is a must-see. If it's still playing in your theater, go immediately, because it's going to be gone before you know it.
Yeah, it's a shame.
There's a bunch of, I think, well, there was one movie this week that you did not like, but three recommends.
Yeah.
Stuff that's playing in theaters right now. And for next week, Chris, I guess we'll get started with Rambo. I don't know if there's anything else coming out.
I am going to see Angel Has Fallen.
Oh, boy.
I don't know what – I haven't looked at any of the reviews. I saw the Olympus Has Fallen and London Has Fallen.
So you're like invested in this franchise at this point. You got to
– I don't remember anything about it. Like, I remember Olympus Has Fallen came out around the same time as White House Down, and they were both basically Die Hard in the White House. This, I don't know. I am kind of down for a dumb action movie, though. So,
yeah, I'm looking at like what's available this weekend, and there's that and a couple other things that I couldn't care about. So,
I want to see Brittany Runs a Marathon, which there was a trailer for that ahead of Good Boys, but it doesn't look like it's playing anywhere near me. So,
yeah, I mean, there's stuff. I mean, there's definitely stuff coming out on the horizon, but as for next week, all I could tell you, Chris, is I'm going to have First Blood.
Yeah, that's fine.
And, you know, we'll be doing a deep dive on that, as we always do when we do series reviews. So it'll be full spoilers all the way and just digging into any sort of corner of that film we feel like. So come back for that.
Movie dudes. Do, 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 do.